Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations. Online at shrm.org.
Europe goes after Apple.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Yesterday, Apple and the record label EMI made a big announcement. They're getting rid of copy protection on a lot of EMI music. So you can download songs from iTunes to any music player, not just the iPod. Okay, that was yesterday. Today, the EU said it's launching an investigation into the way Apple and the music labels sell music online. Our European correspondent Stephen Beer joins us from London. Stephen, what's the EU alleging here?
Well, the European Commission is saying that Apple and some big music companies, believed to include EMI, have been breaking EU competition law by selling music at different prices in different EU countries. For example, someone in the UK with an iPod cannot download music from the iTunes website in France. He's got to log on to the UK site, where, as it turns out, the songs are more expensive. The EU says that's a restrictive business practice and illegal under EU law.
What does Apple say?
Well, Apple denies that it's broken EU law, and it says that it always wanted, actually, to operate a pan-European service, but music publishers have always advised it that they can only sell songs country by country because of the sort of differing legal rights depending on which country the song is being sold.
I got to say, it's kind of curious that we had this announcement yesterday with EMI, and then today we have the European Commission coming out with this charge against Apple. Is there any connection here?
Well, the EU says no, but the timing, as you say, does look very interesting and does suggest that both EMI and Apple have staged a sort of preemptive strike here, you know, projecting themselves as pro-consumer, pro-free market, just as they're about to get hit with a major EU competition inquiry.
And what kind of penalty could they face?
Oh, massive. The penalties that the EU can impose are eye-watering. I mean, they're worth up to 10% of a company's worldwide annual turnover. Microsoft has so far been fined almost $1 billion, having been found guilty of abusing its dominant market position. So the financial penalties are very big indeed.
And paying them is another matter.
Yes, that's right. Microsoft certainly hasn't paid $1 billion yet.
All right, Stephen, thanks so much.
Okay, Scott.
Our European correspondent, Stephen Beard. Let's check in on the markets. A pretty strong showing for European stocks so far today. Japan's Nikkei recouped most of Monday's 1.5% loss. Yesterday, the Dow gained 27 points to 12,382. The NASDAQ put on half a point to 2422. The S&P 500 climbed 3 to 1424. The big subprime mortgage lender, New Century Financial, filed for bankruptcy yesterday. No surprise there, but we probably haven't seen the end of the subprime fallout. Steve Tripoli has more.
A new report out of UCLA says some non-subprime mortgages now appear unstable. UCLA's David Shulman says that's not good news for the housing market.
Well, the implications of this is we think there's another leg down for housing starts and probably continued pressure on housing prices.
Fewer housing starts harm employment, and lower prices could kill the cycle of consumers using home equity to support spending. Shulman says that twin squeeze will bring a series of Federal Reserve interest rate cuts.
Our guess is they'll start in June when they see the ugly housing numbers.
The UCLA economists now see growth staying slow at least through the third quarter.
Can you get a recession out of this? Yes. We're not forecasting that, but that is certainly possible.
Think of these ripple effects as something like the free spending cycle of the old up housing market, except in reverse. I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by Medtronic, applauding the many contributions of America's volunteers. You can find volunteer opportunities in your community today by visiting volunteermatch.org. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, the foundation of entrepreneurship. Online at kauffman.org.
Here's the latest on the contaminated pet food. The FDA has told inspectors not to allow wheat gluten from a certain Chinese company into the U.S. This wheat gluten was found to contain a chemical called melamine. It's not supposed to be in pet food, but nobody's confirmed that it caused any cats or dogs to die. And there's no evidence melamine is in the food we eat. But then again, as Bob Moon reports, it just might be.
Some blogs were abuzz with speculation that tainted wheat gluten may have reached the general food supply after Del Monte confirmed the suspect ingredient used in some of its pet food products was a food-grade additive suitable for human consumption. At UC Davis, veterinary toxicology professor Brigitte Pushner says limited studies suggest the toxic effects of melamine are different between cats, dogs, and people.
From what's known from the data on humans, it doesn't appear to be a compound that we have to be highly concerned about.
And the head of the University of Georgia's Center for Food Safety, Michael Doyle, sounds less than confident that he's not already consuming, say, breakfast cereal tainted with a chemical.
Certainly does raise questions. I feel safe if it's made by a major company that I know has in place rigid criteria for ingredients that they put into their products.
The FDA says there is no evidence at this time to suggest that any of the suspect wheat gluten made it into the human food supply. But one source familiar with the industry told us nobody seems to know that with absolute certainty. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Google is getting into television advertising. Today, the company announces a deal to sell ads shown on EchoStar, the satellite TV network. Last year, Google made almost all of its $10.5 billion in ad revenue on the Internet. And while we're on the subject, it appears the Internet will surpass radio as the world's fourth largest advertising medium next year. Media buyer Zenith Optimedia says the drivers will be the Olympics, the U.S. presidential election, and the European football championships. Last year, global spending on Internet ads jumped 33% from 2005. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.